Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Coach, how you doing? Are you all right?
Dave, I'm grand. I'm so happy to be here.
And I'm so happy that you are here as well, because in the last few weeks it was quite easy to do what we could do. We could separate it from a song and play it and give it an example for brass or keyboards or guitar or whatever. Is it fair to say that if I play these things here, it's not that easy to pick out the bass sometimes?
Oh, yeah, you will, because you'll feel it in your bones.
Yeah, I know.
You'll feel it. It'll mess with your heartbeat and your toes will start tapping and it won't be the drummer.
Right, OK. Well, sometimes isn't it the same thing? It doesn't matter. Look, we'll just have a blast here because you're the teacher and I'm not.
All
so
right.
51552 at FanningRT, your best bass bits.
Mm.
Where are we going? I'll tell you what, I'm going to start off with this here and you can talk to me about it, because we're going to go right back to the early days of why it's all so important. By the way, it's a lot less important now, isn't it? They all just press a button and every piece of music is there.
How dare you, sir? How very dare you?
This is Big Joe Turner. So hold on, Coach. When we asked you about this, you kind of did you think, do you know something? I'm going to go back and just give myself a history lesson on the bass guitar.
I absolutely did, Dave. Because if you'd said come in and talk about the Ramones for 90 minutes, no problem.
Yeah, right.
They said, you know, talk about bass. And I was like, no problem, specialist subject. And they said, so you just give us like an overview of the history of the bass. And I went, ooh, wait now, you what? So, yeah, I had to, fortunately, I have a shelf of books that are all about basses, historic bass guitars, historical bass players. And between them, there was enough info. And one of the names that came up, Lloyd Trotman, who was an American jazz bass player, upright jazz bass player. And he's one of the guys who put his stamp on everything that came after. Because if you listen to the bass line on that, that's what everybody did for years, that doom, 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 doom. And it's so melodic, but it's so cool and rocking. And then Lloyd Trotman, like 6 years later, he put the bass line on Stand By Me by Benny King, which is a very different vibe, but another very beautiful bass line. So big shout out to Big Lloyd.
A big shout out to Benny King then. Let's try it.
All right. Oh, that sound.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me.
So far, so fantastic.
Yeah.
That'll do me for the moment. Brilliant. Okay, Benny King, Stand By Me. He was the Drifters as well, wasn't he? No, was he part of all that? I think he probably was. Yeah, and the Save the Last Dance For Me and all the rest of it. So,
come here though, Dave. Lloyd Trotman is playing half of the line that he's playing on Shake, Rattle and Roll there, and it's still brilliant. He's only playing half as much, and it's still perfect.
So we've got the same guy playing on both of these, yeah.
Same guy.
Well, then, who's playing on this?
Baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street.
Here he comes.
Heartbreak Hotel, I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die.
Sounds so good.
It does.
Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. Be so, be so lonely, baby. Be so lonely. You're so lonely, they could die. Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the lonely street, they'll never look back. And think you're so, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely, well, they're so lonely, they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down lonely street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, because so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely, you'll be so lonely, you could die.
Is that a stand-up bass, a double bass thing?
Yeah,
is it?
This is a very important point.
Yeah, this is the point.
A lot of the early rock and roll was stand-up bass, and a lot of it was being played by either jazz players who had, you know, their double bass, or country guys, bluegrass guys, who, you know, they called it the bull fiddle. they had their own style. I think on that one it's still Bill Black, Elvis, Scotty and Bill, the
And then they got the kind of fretted instrument, if that's right. So that's designed to be played this way. I mean, like kind of Galway to Dublin kind of thing, as opposed to Belfast to Cork.
Oh, yeah, that's better than portrait versus landscape. Well, this is a very important point in the history. If I can put on my history teacher.
Please do, Coach.
Now, of course, for like hundreds of years, it was the double bass guitar and it was an orchestral thing. And then in 1936, a basement boffin type in Seattle called Paul Tutmark started making his own little guitars, and he called them Audiovox. And then in 1936, he decided to do a bass version. And that's now acknowledged as the earliest electric bass. But he did not have the luck of the guy who 15 years later put out the precision bass, and that was Leo Fender. And it seems to be just luck. 15 years between them.
So when we talk about the bass guitar, are we talking about always the electric bass? Like the bass is the bass?
No, we're talking about the range.
Yeah.
When we say the bass guitar, like the double bass. Again, this is another thing I found in my studies, Dave. At some point I said, why is it called the double bass? Is it because it's like double the size of a,
exactly.
of a sensible instrument? And there's theories. It's the double bass because it's two octaves below middle C, you know, or it's one octave below cello, so it doubles the range.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who say it doubled the cello, or rather the tubas or the brass or the wind instruments in the orchestral, so it was a doubling. It was more like the bass doubling.
Yeah.
So nobody's agreed on that one, but I call it the upright.
Oh, you call it the upright. Okay, when you were playing bass in the Pogues, did you have many bass guitars? Or was it always the one, like, you know, Rory Gallagher always had the one he loved, the guitar he loved. And with your bass?
I got my paws on a pre-CBS 1963 Fender P bass.
Is that good, is it?
It's really, really good. Like, Fender sold out to CBS in, I think, 63, 64. So after that, it was all a different thing. It was very mass-produced, whereas before that, and Keith Richard goes on about this, about Fender guitars, you know the names of the ladies who coiled the wire around the pickups in your guitars, because it was a much smaller thing before he sold out. So there's kind of a fetishization among guitar nerds around, like, was it pre-CBS? You know, did Dolores wind your pickups?
Right, well, hold on. Right, okay, well then, just on the subject of the Stones there, here's a question. Like, I mean, Bill Wyman would be the bass player.
Mm.
And did he kind of invent, or did he go with the fretless? Because I know that somebody told me that Painted Black and Mother's Little Helper is a fretless bass. And he gets rid of the things and he sticks a bit of putty in where the things should be.
That's just silly.
Okay, the research this week didn't bring that up. Okay, 5-1.
Well, I'll tell you what I do know about Bill Wyman is that Billy Preston used to demo the songs with Jagger And what Bill Wyman is playing, particularly on Miss You, is Billy Preston's left hand.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, listen, we're going to get to a few of those. We're going to stay with the history lesson for the moment. We're talking to Katja Reardon here. We have it all in terms of 51552 at Fanning RTE. And thanks for your base suggestions. I'll give a few of those in a second or two. But I want to stay with Katja's lesson here. I'm going to play George Jones' White Lightning. Why?
Oh, listen, just listen to the bass at the top.
Okay, listen to the bass at the top. Here it goes.
The sun went down, and then you fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy's corn squeezing. Shh, White Lightning.
Well, the G-Men, this is a legendary session. There's so many legends about how many takes the bass player had to do and how much blood he was losing.
Really?
Yeah, by the end of it.
White Lightning.
He's the He Stopped Loving Her Today guy, George Jones.
Yeah, George Jones. But this bass player is called Buddy Killen.
Buddy who?
Buddy Killen, which Buddy is an Killen. Irish name, isn't it? I know it, Kevin Buddy Killen. Killen. Buddy Killen.
Right, could be related. Okay, now, Charles Mingus. Where am I going with him? Because, I mean, like, Charles Mingus is, I don't know, he was a piano and he was also, whatever, all sorts of bass player, wasn't he? Virtuoso, really at the top of his game, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, composer, band leader. Charles Mingus comes from a direct line out of a kid called Jimmy Blandford who worked for Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington turned out to be very important in the history of bass guitar. Two guys he hired in 1927, he hired a New Orleans guy who played walking bass style. And then he hired a kid called Jimmy Blandford who played virtuoso solos, which was just phenomenal at the time. No one had done that. Duke Ellington hired him immediately. And it's Jimmy Blandford who made the bass an equal voice on the bandstand. And as a direct line from him to people like Mingus and Paul Chambers, who everyone that's ever heard of Miles Davis, cool blues Miles Davis has heard.
I was just thinking, like, okay, if you were to cram all this week, then whatever you were studying in San Francisco recently for doing your PhD or whatever it was, you must have, like, got an A, did you? Like, I mean, this will take me years. I'm going to go back to the start of that again because I just want to hear that. This is Charles Mingus, better get it in your soul. Okay, you mentioned, what do you call him, Miles Davis as well. Tell me about, I have So What here.
Yeah, Miles Davis worked with a guy called Paul Chambers, who's just another huge name. He just, because he worked with Miles, you know, Miles was the most important musician on the planet for a very long period, the most disruptive, the most imitated. And his bass player in that period was Paul Chambers. So, which therefore, just by default, made Paul Chambers the most interesting. I went to a few classes with the guy who actually wrote books about Paul Chambers. He would just listen to a Paul Chambers bass line and write them down and could write whole books about them, which, you know, that's so far beyond my level. But it gives you an insight into how important Chambers was. And if you listen to, is it 1959? And they made So What? Which, you know, even people who think they don't know jazz, they know So What when they hear it. And, you know, Miles plays with this beginning and then at some point the bass riff comes in.
Oh, I'll give it a blast.
And it's like a new world being born.
Now, the problem is I'm not sure where the bass comes in. This is 10 minutes long.
It is 10 minutes long. It comes in around 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Okay, 51552.
Minute and a half.
It's like a cat prowling around and then it catches something, as you just said, yeah.
Yeah, say that a couple of years before this was made, a jazz guy started playing electric bass, and that was revolutionary.
Oh, right.
You know, when you're talking about Galway to Dublin versus...
Belfast to Cork. Yeah,
a guy left down Belfast to Cork and picked up Galway to Dublin. Right. And that was a big deal in electric, in jazz.
Right. Okay, that's So What by Miles Davis. Now, I'm going to jump forward a little bit here before I go back to the history lesson, because that's the end of the 1950s there, to anything and everything at all from some of the things that people have been asking me to play. And there's a bunch of things here. I might as well mention a few now. There's one there. You can think about this. We'll ask Koch what her two favourite U2 bass lines are. Uh-huh. But before you answer that, Royal Blood, that's from Robin Fiona. Niall Quinn, Neil Crossley from Hookie, Lemmy, The Ox. Yeah, I think we're going to get a few of those.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, that's John Entwistle from The Who, in other words. Playlist guy, I'm going to send a few. Yeah, Hookie, Jerry Mack, Jack B, JPJ, that'll be John Paul Jones, I presume.
Yeah.
Philo, Tina Weymouth, amongst others. Let's see, 3 Days by Jane's Addiction, I don't know that. Giovanni, somebody or other, Solo and Naked in the Rain, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Teen Land, The Northern Pikes from John Kennedy, The Waco Bees, or maybe it's The Wacko Bees, I've no idea.
Waco Brothers.
Bees. It says no. It's from these people. It's from somebody who calls himself that. That's his handle.
Oh,
hey, see the way I did that. Sorry. Intro to NIB by Black Sabbath. Yeah, a bunch of people have asked for that. Kevin, I'm a double Z. Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick. In Jury, Norman Watt, Roy, Dancing in the Moonlight, Lizzie, definitely Walking in the Moon, The Police, Say Hi to Koch, Hi to Koch.
Hi.
Night, John Boy, The Stranglers cover of Walk On By, 22nd Century Boy, Paul Young, Wherever I Lay My Hat, Paddy McPoland, Peaches by The Stranglers. Come on, Paddy. And Kerry McAvoy, The Boys Are Back in Town, loads of people and all of that there. So, where can I go with some? Let's say, well, just
Peaches. We've
got to
do the 60s.
I'm going to go back on that, but let's just see with some of the ones that I've just mentioned there. I don't even know if I mentioned this, but Sting would have to get something somewhere along the way.
Not from me.
Yeah, I knew it. That's why I said it. I knew that.
I do have to say, I have learned to respect a man who can sing and play at the same time, because it is patting your head and rubbing your tummy.
And he does it
very well.
Did you not do any backing vocals in the Pogues while you were playing bass, no?
Oh, but he's singing lead.
Yeah, he's singing lead, yeah.
And they're not simple rhythms.
No.
He's got Stuart Copeland tripping him up the whole time.
Yeah, you see, here we go. The is it all to do with the drummer as well? The rhythm section. No. Oh, look at this. No, it's only the bass. You should see when she's going there. To hell with drummers. Is that what you're saying?
Have you not had the best of the drums bit?
No.
No, there you go.
The best of the drums bit. No, well, it's the best of the bass bit we're doing at the moment. So,
hello.
Hold on. How about this? Would you go for Pink Floyd at all? No?
Pink Floyd track.
Oh, hold on a second now. I'm just wondering what it might be. Doom, doom, to do money? No.
Yeah.
Is it? All right. Well, I'm going to go for this one here from the Metal album.
Okay.
You ready? Which is One of These Days. Do you know the way it starts off? Listen, hold on a second now. That's a wind instrument.
Rim shot. This is great, Dave.
Are you ready? It comes in behind you. Listen, watch. Watch out. So where would you be on a Sunday afternoon? What time is it?
That could have gone a lot of ways. It could have gone very Doctor Who, or it could have gone Oxygen, Jean-Michel Jarre. But instead, you just kept doing the same thing for a whole minute.
I love it.
Pump.
Yeah. Do you know, we had the full Doctor Who thing yesterday. Dealey Derbyshire from the Stereophonic Workshop of BBC. We had
Radiophonic.
Did I say Stereophonic?
You did.
The Radiophonic Workshop at the BBC, yeah.
Yeah. I will say though, when we're talking Pink Floyd and bass, every bass player has to learn money.
All right, okay, here we go. This is it. Are you ready? Okay, here goes.
Thank you.
Yeah, a bit loud. All right, sorry about that. Yeah,
That's the first and last time in my life I ever had to learn a track in 7/4. Was learning the riff from Money.
Wow, do you know what? I was just going, wait a minute, 7/4 being difficult. I was going to say that's a really easy one, is it? No, wait a minute. Start me on that again. Tell me about the...
There's two time signatures in Money by Pink Floyd. The famous classic riff is in 7/4 and then it goes into nice 4/4, but then it goes back into 7/4. And for little baby fingers and damaged brains, it's always a moment in our life where we go, thank you, Roger Waters. Not really.
God, I wouldn't have even known that. You see, this is what I say. This is a learning thing every Sunday afternoon. We've only got a couple of minutes left. A couple of minutes left till 2 o'clock, and then we keep going after three, after two.
So much bass.
Oh my God, so much bass indeed. In fact, I'll tell you what. You know what? I completely forgot to play something that I have here. Hold on a second.
What was it?
So much bass. You ready? Look. About 77 as well, isn't it?
1977, all the great tracks that came out in 1977. It's unreal. It's amazing. And again, this is something that never occurred to me in 1977.
It takes a bit of time. No harm in that. Okay, that's what we're talking about there. Bass. Greatest kind of bass lines, etc. 51552 and at Fanning RTE. That's where you can send them into, and we'll play as many as we can. I've mentioned a bunch already that I will play, and we'll do it for the next while. It's with Katja Reardon here in the studio live. We're talking bass guitar and bass everything else, and 51552 and at Fanning RTE is the Twitter account number thingamy Bob Yoke. So get your bass things in. That was well done, wasn't it, Katja? Impressed. Good. Okay, let's take a look now. We're going to go back to sort of learning a little bit more of the whole thing. You've done a lot of 50s stuff, which is brilliant. Big Joe Turner and Benny King and Elvis Presley and George Jones and Charles Mingus and Miles Davis. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to give you a blast of this. Who are we talking about here? I mean, I know who Roger Miller and King of the Road is, but who are we talking about? Because we're talking bass.
We're talking bass.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let, 50 cents.
That's
no phone, no.
Start that again, what?
That's a guy called Bob Moore, and he was like the A-Team in Nashville. Like, their equivalent of the Wrecking Crew.
All right, so are you getting into kind of country now in some ways?
Let's just hit country, because he's the ultimate country music bass player, which is a billion-dollar industry.
Wow. Yeah. Hold on a second here. There. So what's his name again?
This is a cat called Bob Moore, the definitive country music bass player.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms.
Okay, so Bob Moore on King of the Road by Roger Miller. Give us a few more of those then.
If you want to hear about Bob Moore, if you've ever heard a Patsy Cline record, he's on Crazy, he's on I Fall to Pieces, he's on Walking After Midnight. He was the bass player in what was called the Nashville A-Team, which was like Nashville's equivalent of the Wrecking Crew out in LA or the Funk Brothers up at Motown. And he's on like 1,000 great records. This is 1964, but the previous 10 years, he'd just been making hit after hit. But the thing about country music bass players is you kind of don't want to notice them, almost. You really, you know when you said sometimes it's hard to pick out the bass? Sometimes you don't want to pick out the bass because it's all about the song, but Bob Moore, every bass player on the planet just says he was the cat for country music.
They do say about the bass, you know, that you might not always notice it, but you would if it was missing.
Oh, that's a great thing to say, yeah.
It's true,
like,
if you think
about Johnny Cash early records, it was Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two, and the Tennessee Two was Luther Perkins on guitar and Marshall Grant on bass. That's all they needed for all those early records, Folsom Prison Blues and Cry, Cry, Cry and Hey Porter and I Walk the Line. And it's this style that they call boom chicka boom because it needed to be louder. It was only later they got W.S. Holland on drums and became the Tennessee Three.
So when I throw the drums into it all and say that the whole lot helps, you know, the percussion section provide the song with its rhythm, you say, no, hold on, we're talking bass here.
Hold your jets there, Mr. Fanning.
We're talking
cool,
bass.
Cool your engines.
Shut up with the other instruments. Yeah, okay.
We can get a drummer in next week, mate.
Okay, do you think in some ways, though, like that the bass is often underrated, often unnoticed, and it's not easy for the human ear sometimes to isolate the bass?
No, I don't believe any of that. I think, obviously, as your man says in Spinal Tap, we are the lukewarm water between fire and ice, and you don't want to get burnt and you don't want to get frozen. Everybody needs the lukewarm water. Yeah. Derek Smalls.
Have you seen the movie Songs from While I'm Away, the Phil Lynott movie?
I can't watch it. Now, everyone says it's not grim. It kind of ends on an uplifting note. I'm just not able for it. Maybe when we've put the pandemic behind
all
us.
Right. Well, one of the reasons I say it is that Adam Clayton's in it and he talks about that and he's very funny talking about the importance of the bass. He really likes it, like hell with everybody else kind of thing.
Adam Clayton, let's just say, there's a very important division within bass players. Did you want to be a bass player or did you want to be a guitar player and they made you play the bass? And me and Adam, we're people who always wanted to be the bass player.
Speaking of which. If you're doing that thing in your head, you're doing Adam's bit. Do it again. This time, it's the only one I'll say. Just try and pick out. Just do the bass in your head with this one here. Without just here it goes. Sorry, that's New Year's Day, obviously, from you too. I interrupted your lesson in terms of just learning so much about all of this sort of stuff. So here's one, right? Okay, here's one. Look. Four tops.
Fantastic.
People are searching for the kind of love that we possessed. Some go on.
So we're getting into James Jamerson here, are we?
James Jamerson.
Just tell me about him.
I think he got voted like the greatest bass player in history, and quite rightly, he's on like 1,000 great records. And he died young, but he started as an upright jazz player
By the way, when you say 1,000 famous records, he really has done 1,000 famous records. Like he did "Ain't a Mountain High Enough" and Marvin Gaye stuff. Like what's going on? 1,000.
Yeah. If we dance to it from between about 1961 to 1971, it was James Jamerson.
Yeah, he was on everything.
His crew was called the Funk Brothers, and he was the bass player. That makes him the funkiest guy that lived before Prince. But he started on upright jazz, and then he got a Fender P bass and became the most iconic P bass player ever, precision bass. Yeah, this is something else I learned.
I was just about to say, what's a P bass?
I have to tell you, this never occurred to me, precision, because it had frets on it.
It had frets on it, okay. Take that, Bill Wyman. Okay, hold on a second. Here he is again on, that's the Four Tops, Bernadette. Marvin Gaye's Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
everyone. You just hum in the bass line. Yeah.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Imagine High Enough is Marvin Gaye. I'll just give you one more from the man himself. What, James, isn't it? It is James.
James. Yeah.
Okay, Marvin Gaye, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can.
You can get so, like, I'm trying to pick out the bass all the time. I can pick it out of that, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on, that's him again. So that's with what's going on in Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
So go on, his equivalent, what were you saying during that there?
I was saying, obviously Jamison is godlike, and because he was at Motown and Motown was so successful, but his equivalent at Stax Records, which was kind of the Southern Soul parallel universe to the Motown world up in Detroit, Duck Dunn.
As in Donald.
Donald Duck Dunn, who wrote a book called What Duck Dunn.
Did he really? I love it. Because I've always heard the name Duck Dunn.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called What Duck
Dunn.
He's
in the Blues Brothers, but when he was a session player, he was Booker T and the MG's bass player. He was the house bass player at Stax, which means he's the bass man on Hold On, I'm Coming.
Yeah.
On
the
Soul
Man.
The
famous Memphis sound.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. Memphis Soul, Stax Records. He's on In the Midnight Hour, I've Been Loving You Too Long. And,
yeah.
And he's in the Blues Brothers, which is cool.
Right,
as
another
well.
One has done a thousand. I'll play a bit of him again in a second or two. But before I do, could I play that one? No, I'll tell you what. I'm going to wait a second. Yeah, here, look. This is him here, isn't it? Knock on Wood.
Yes.
We're getting there. Look, we can do Sam and Dave as well. Here he is again. So that's, what do you call it? Duck Dunn again, is it? Yeah. And of course, we had that last week with Ronan Johnson for the brass bits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and he's also on, he's also, of course, on the classic from Otis Redding.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again.
yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the 60s and into 70s as well. I'm going to just do one or two other things here for the moment. 51552 is our text, at Fanning RTE, just to give us your bass bits. A lot of people are going to know this because they just mentioned Phil in it, so I better play this, or Phil Liners if you like. Here goes. How about that?
Nicely done, David. You could do a whole show with Phil, couldn't you?
When I passed you in the doorway.
Actually, I think you need to hear that again, just all by itself, as raw as it gets. Okay, Dance when in the I Moonlight it is from Thin Lizzy. Just a few other ones I want to mention here. Need, Need, Need by The Damned, that's from Frank Booth. Michael Mee, Scott Walker, The Old Man's Back Again. Also Ken Fallon, Regret, New Order, Peter Hook. Lots of people want Peter Hook, says Alan Malone. There's a few things I want to mention. I want to get to Carole Kaye in a second or two. Before I do, there's one here, or there's two here actually, from Craig Walker. Craig Walker Official. So that'll be Power of Dreams, Craig Walker, therefore. And he also wants Religion by P.I.L., which I should know and don't. But anyway, point about it is, he wants Barbarism Begins at Home by The Smiths. But the point about it is that Craig Walker co-wrote what is a very good contender for my favourite single of the last 10 years.
What?
And I'm going to play it for you now.
All
and
right.
I want to ask you, I don't even know if there's bass or what the hell this is going to be on. So this is going to be new to you
I'll
too.
I'll put my ears on.
Okay, this is from The Avenor and it's called Fade Out Lines. Are you ready? But he co-wrote it from Dublin. Are you ready? Listen. That is bass, is it? Yeah.
Treated.
I'm leaving this on, it's too good. So what do you think of that, Kosh?
That is an absolute bop, and it's really interesting. It's got those kind of Steve Cropper Stax guitar licks on top of this very 21st century groove.
Well, if there's such a thing as favourite single of the last 10 years, I think that's mine.
Nice one.
The Avenor, yeah. And that's Craig Walker, who from Power of Dreams from Dublin, who co-wrote that.
Well done, Craig Walker.
Well done indeed. Fade Out Lines is what it's called. Okay, could you put in the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army, Bootsy Collins, my favourite bassist, Bernard Edwards, Carole Kaye, Peter Hook, all absolutely top of their own styles. Throw Away Your Television from the album, by the way, is a good example. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers has to be one of the best bass players over the last 30 years or so. Seen him play live a few times. Note perfect each time. Play a few from him. Come on, John. Dave isn't... Sorry, that's me. Hi, Dave. Isn't the clock ticking on Pink Floyd time? Also, Roger playing it on the bass. I've no idea. I've seen him playing it with Peter Green. Peter Green! This comes in from Peter Green. Wow, amazing. Not the... Nah, whatever.
Okay, no. A Peter Green.
Yeah, A Peter Green. Yeah, the other one is not around anymore. Is this it? The Strokes, best bass line ever? So says Brian Sweeney. Slapping... Yeah, when did slapping become a thing? That's a good thing, all right. Yeah, Graham and Trotter. The old slapping business of the bass and all that.
Was there somebody who kind of slightly
invented that in some ways, no?
On the electric bass, I presume he means, because all the upright cats were doing it. But on the electric bass, it was a guy called Larry Graham.
Yeah.
And in 1970, Sly Stone got him in the studio and they cut Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again.
Which was covered by Magazine once. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, slightly less funky.
Definitely less funky, but it worked because of it.
I remember John Peel played it a lot. That was cool. Yeah, Larry Graham's enormous, a huge influence. And I guess through Larry Graham, you get to Flea, who played slap bass and I think maybe the first three or four Red Hot Chili Peppers albums before he kind of snapped out of it.
Yeah, but listen, there's a few people there that have mentioned somebody that I want to mention now. If you talk about 1,000 songs that some bass player's been on, honestly, I think she's been on 10,000, and that's Carole Kaye. Do you know anything about Carole Kaye, or tell me about her?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, well, tell me about her.
Anytime she's on TV or anything, people say, Carole Kaye, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I actually carry around one of her bass picks with me at all times.
By the way, yeah, do you play with what? Do you play with a pick?
I play with both now. I'm more comfortable with fingers if it's round wound strings because there's a bit of grip. But if I'm trying to play fast, if I'm playing Ramones, you have to use a pick. You just can't get the power and the speed. And if you want to be Lemmy, you've got to play with the pick just to get that attack, that really filthy sound.
Yeah, your hands be ruined.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about Carole Kaye then. What's she done?
She was a virtuoso jazz guitar player and turned out, you know, one day she picked up bass and turned out she was a virtuoso bass player as well. And she just immediately became number one call for the studios in LA at the time, which were going through a golden era. You know, they had the Beach Boys in one room and, you know, she just walked from gig to gig and just became a legend.
And she's the bass player on Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys, Wichita Lineman for crying out loud, the Batman theme tune on television, Frank Zappa's Freak Out. She's a thousand other things too. She's the Wrecking Crew. In fact, it was Paul McCartney who said that he did his bass, he took a lot of it from Pet Sounds and the Beach Boys and therefore took a lot of it from her in terms of Sgt. Pepper's. So that's about as good as it gets. And here she is on this one too.
That's not her.
Really?
That bit?
Oh, that bit's
that
not her.
That slide is a guy called Chuck Berghofer on an upright bass. And then when he's done that legendary slide, then Carole comes in on electric.
You see, this is why we need you here. Yeah. Perfect. I thought that was her. Okay, hold on. Okay.
That's not her.
That's not our rubbish. I don't like that's not good enough. Okay, so she's coming in now. Is she?
She's going to come in on electric.
You keep saying you've got something for me. Something you call love.
This is a good subject. This is a great subject when you've got two bass lines.
Well, you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Carole's
come
just
back,
waiting
Carole.
There twiddling her fingers. Yeah.
Okay, so she was on River Deep Mountain High as well, I think.
You keep
it's like you
good
can
vibrations.
Learn, you
okay, so
vibration.
Tell me about the thing, this two
that's
bases.
That's really a good, interesting little nerd heaven subject because why have two bass players? You get two different flavours. You can't do that on an electric bass, what Chuck Berghofer's doing there, because there's frets get in the way and you can't get the intonation. But Herbie Flowers, who's another legendary bass player, went one better and he recorded the lines himself. Instead of having Chuck Berghofer and Carole Kaye, Herbie Flowers says, I can play it on the upright bass, and then he'd overdub it on the electric bass, and that's Walk on the Wild Side. And it's also Rock On by David Essex. He wasn't fussy, wasn't Herbie?
Are you putting down Rock On by David Essex? What a classic song. It's absolutely brilliant. By the way, I just thought of something when you say two basses. I saw once 14 bass players on stage at the same time playing.
What drugs were you on?
No, sounds
like a trip.
Do you know what it was? It was at Live Earth in Wembley Stadium. Wembley Stadium, big one tonight. It was at Wembley Stadium, Live Earth, and it was your man from Metallica.
James Hetfield.
Yeah, and he's standing there. He was so happy because every bass player from every band who played that day, from Foo Fighters to Killers, whatever it was, they all came up and played bass.
Beautiful.
The whole lot of them together. But in particular, do you know who else played bass there? Spinal Tap.
Oh, that's so funny.
They were actually there
funny.
Live, and they did it all.
And James Hetfield played with one of the all-time great players, Cliff Burton, rest in peace.
In fact, there's a few things there for Cliff Burton. All
right, the lightning.
Mentions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so where are we going? We're like, got a bit.
Where are we? We're still in the 60s.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll just jump forward just a little bit.
Have you given Bootsy a shout out yet?
Bootsy Collins. I don't see him there, even though I hope I don't have my window. There's too much. How about some reggae? Look, Toots.
Oh, yeah, nice. Still the 60s.
I know, that's fantastic.
It's a classic.
That's Clifton Jackson or whatever it was, wasn't it? Jackie Jackson.
Yeah. told me, also played Mother and Child Reunion with Paul Simon.
Him?
Yeah, same guy.
Played this.
Nicely done.
You say it, I play it.
No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is only a motion away. Oh, little darling of mine, I care for the life of.
Mother and Child Reunion, Paul Simon it is. Who are we talking about there? That was Jackie Jackson, was
Jackie
it?
Jackson. Yeah, right. He was Toots and the Maytales bass player, and then he got snapped up. Paul Simon knows good bass when he hears it. He also got Bakithi Kamoko to play that notorious bass fill on You Can Call Me Al, which every bass player nearly died trying to learn, and then we found out it was spliced in half and played backwards.
Cheated. Oh my God, that's terrible to know that. Okay, listen, look, there's so many. I'm going to jump forward again before I go back, because I don't like, we're a bit all over the place by this stage. How about still way back, the Jackson 5? I can certainly hear that. That's your man from the Crusaders.
Yes, and he's a sax player.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give you that again. Wilton Felder or something. Is that his name? Something
Wilton
along those lines.
Wilton Felder.
Yeah. There's so much. I mean, I've got about 1,000 ones there that I have to play here. Hold on a second. How about we did mention Bill Wyman earlier on? So the Rolling Stones.
Nice one. This would be my choice. But it is Billy Preston's bass line.
Yeah, this is the point you were making, yeah.
Actually, a lot of Stevie Wonder's keyboard bass lines are him. He demoed them with a real bass player called Nate Watts. And then when he went to record it, Stevie just played it on his keyboard.
Oh, really? All right, okay.
So it goes both ways.
Okay, we'll give you another one then from Tina Weymouth this time.
Oh, yeah.
Can we hear Tina Weymouth? On that, I see Tina Weymouth, and it's like as though if she leant backwards any further, the weight of the bass would knock her over. She held it in a certain way.
Yeah, but what a great,
she's brilliant.
What a great woman. And then, you know, a few years later, she was doing the Genius of Love with the Tom Tom Club.
Well, that's of course, yeah, which sold more records than any Talking Heads record,
yeah.
Which was hilarious, you know.
And just a great, just a real icon for any girl who wants to pick up the bass. What a sound as well. There was some great dirty bass tone in the 70s. Got this and Peaches and Lemmy. Grits.
If I was to play a Pogues track on bass, what's your favourite bass bit?
Oh man.
Look, I don't have any Pogues here in front of me at all.
All right.
That can be rectified.
For years, I was a strict 1-4-5, bum, 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 bum. And then Shane wrote Sally McLennan, and I don't know what happened. Did I fall and bump my head? But I decided I was going to rock the bass line. So I learned this groove for it. And the first time we played it live, there'd been two lads down the front of the stage the whole evening. They were enjoying the set, and then we played Sally McLennan, and one of them looks up at me and goes, have you been practicing? Because it was going boom, 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 boom. And it was a drastic break with tradition.
Okay, drastic break with tradition. Sally McLennan, we've got to pick that up sometime in the next 25 right. minutes, no doubt about it. How about, enough people have mentioned Flea, so I better play something Flea-wise.
This is
Higher Ground, obviously.
Nice. Full slap.
Yeah. Chili Peppers, Give It Away. We've got
Dave,
so
I have
many.
To say, what? And just put it out in the universe, Flea followed me on Twitter about a month ago.
Flea follows you on Twitter?
The actual Flea.
Really?
I don't know who he thinks I am, but when he finds out, he's going to unfollow me.
I love it. Okay, by the way, you mentioned Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side.
Who's Herbie this? Flowers.
Yeah.
Also played Rebel Rebel.
Yeah. And T-Rex.
Yeah.
And Blue Mink.
Just one of the great session players.
And George Harrison and Elton John and Brian Ferry.
Yeah, but he's a total fag and a cup of tea.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says,
yeah, I know, yeah, we're all over the place. Here, I'll take a break and jump up to the 90s. Time has kind of cut up with us.
Oh.
We've only 20 minutes left. So what are we going to do with all this stuff here? I mean, first of all, you say you've got to play this, got to play that, got to play the other. One of them would be, you mentioned this here, and we'll talk about it in a second.
Dad Pesh
said. Sorry. is that still Lou Reed playing? Yeah, it is. Okay, I'll stop that for a second because I want to play this track here because you mentioned, and so have a few of the texts, Norman Watt Roy, right? Okay,
yes.
So obviously you have to play this.
The deserts of Sudan.
What a line!
And the gardens
of Japan.
Of Japan.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You listen to that and you just think, what's he doing? The crazy fool. He'll never bring it down in one piece, but he does.
It's one of his greats. All right, Ian Dury, the Blockheads. Norman Watt Roy is the guy, and Norman Watt Roy also plays on
The Magnificent Seven.
The Magnificent Seven. I just happened to have it from The Clash.
Nice one, Dave. You have to let me put respect on Paul Simonon's name though, because people will be angry that I didn't mention him.
Right. Do you know, as cool, I know, they're looking at me saying, but you'll just play a whole full song. It's very difficult. Hold on a second now. Because, like I said, well, you mentioned one that I have to play. And it's one of my all time favourite bands ever. But I was never been thinking of it. Oh, listen to that bass. Isn't
it
fantastic?
What is it? What is
and
it?
And that would be this. Look, are you ready? Just turn this one up to 14 because this is really what it's all about. Are you ready?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Rock, rock, rock away, bitch. Rock, rock, rock away, bitch.
people say, what's wrong with music today? I'll tell you what's wrong with music today. That, there's no 2 minutes anywhere like
no.
that.
No. And you know, you can let the bass player write the songs and you get Sting, or you can let the bass player write the songs and you get that.
Brilliant.
That.
Okay, okay, that's enough. Okay, that's
or
brilliant.
You get Guns of Brixton, Paul Simonon, of course. Right, yes, very, we, very we, good bass
okay,
player.
How about the Beatles again? George.
Did you hear that story? Because it was Ringo's birthday last week. So
it was Ringo's birthday last week.
I wanted to give him a shout out on the U2X show I do. So I was just like, what's Ringo's favourite song? And he said Rain. He felt like he was possessed when he played it. So that's the favourite thing he ever played on.
Ringo.
And it's also one of McCartney's best bass lines. If you want to, maybe at the end, like, drums and bass together, Ringo
yeah, okay.
and Macca.
We could definitely do Rain. I'll tell you, the funny thing about it is Rain is, it should get a book all on its own. It changed music, Rain. Like, it wasn't Walk and Talk and Moon in June.
Though?
And it was, yeah, it was like 65 Directions. Everything changed because suddenly it wasn't the usual kind of lyrics even. It was like a Ray Davies talking about the English people. It was brilliant.
Wow, you should do a show on that.
Yeah, we should. In fact, I have an interview with Ringo talking about it. I should have played a bit, but I didn't. Okay, listen, this is one you wanted as well, which is pretty obvious. I suppose, all right.
Oh, yes. Kim Deal, respect on her name. From the Pixies to this.
Yeah.
And every person has to, girl or boy, everyone has to learn this riff now. It's the law. Nice. You can hear the bass.
You can. All right, I know I shouldn't be stopping them, but hold on, how about this? Hokey!
He's revolutionary. Nobody played that far up the neck, and he said he just did it so he could hear himself.
Really?
Is that and like, it's just if you don't like it, you can just get out of my way. Because he was playing with the guitar.
Yeah, I think he said that
plays.
To the rest of the members of the band as well a few times.
He's an angry man.
What?
He was an angry man.
Yes, indeed. Have you ever read his book about being angry? It's about the size of this table.
Oh no.
That's brilliant.
He's quite sweet now. He does some things with his son, Jack Bates.
Yeah.
They do like father son chats on Instagram.
Aww. And here he is again with the New Order Ceremony. I think we left out a whole decade somewhere along the
did
way.
Did we? The lost decade.
The
been
lost
there,
decade.
Done
and
that.
We have to come back and do the lot.
Hookie is revolutionary.
Who is?
Hookie.
Yeah, Peter Hook, yeah.
Just grabbed his sonic territory and said, it's mine, come and get it, and nobody could.
How about Massive Attack?
Leyland Sklar.
Yeah.
Just not going to do anything different.
Yeah. Okay, well, quick, come on, give me something for crying out loud.
That was from a 1973 jazz album, yeah. And Massive Attack heard it, and they had the great ears and great taste, so we're taking it and we're using it. Lee Sklar, he's the guy with this wizard bass beard. I watch him on YouTube, he's sweet.
Oh, no, I can't get rid of that if I don't get rid of that. Hold on, it's very hard to stop all these things. Hold on a second now, if I go to this here, because look, this is pretty famous too, to say the very least. This would be Michael Jackson.
We've already had Michael Jackson. We've got to get in either Tim Comerford or Chris Wollstone home.
Okay, have I forgotten those two?
Killing,
okay. Tim Comerford, are they Rage Against the Machine then, yeah?
Are you allowed?
If I can find it.
You can always play Cochise. Play the audio sleeve. I don't think he swears on that one.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean?
Oh, sorry, this stage of the game, I'm thinking I can't find anything. Hold on a second. I've even lost that. There's so many there. Grandmaster Flash?
That's a tricky one because it's not actually Grandmaster Flash. I found out it's Melly Mel and they're just nicking... It's a Doug Wimbush bass line anyway. He was the Sugar Hill bass player.
Okay, I really should play Lemmy.
Yes!
This is brilliant. You know, I can't stop Motorhead. I have it there twice. That's brilliant.
Lemmy plays through 100 watt amp called Murder One. No, you can't stop it.
Murder One, is that what he called it? Oh, yeah. There it is, I found it. Phew!
Wow,
okay.
What a sound.
Pretty good. What a sound.
He said you turn the bass down to zero, you turn the treble down to zero, and you turn the mids up to 10. And that's how you sound like Lemmy.
And you never did that, did you?
Oh, everyone does that once. Okay. And then they blow their amp up.
Here's what you were talking about here, which I think is a really pivotal song in terms of music. Music just changed after this song, even though, as you say, it was a B-side and it just took time. Drum and bass, the two of them there. I mean, seriously now.
Respect. Ringo says when he played that, he felt like he'd been possessed. He didn't feel like it was him. And, you know, it's one of McCartney's great bass lines, which is saying something. And, yeah, that is rhythm section heaven.
Rhythm section. Well, it's been rhythm section heaven and bass section heaven in particular on the program. Koch, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for dropping in.
Oh,
we're not
my
totally
pleasure.
Finished yet.
Oh, good.
Koch Reardon it is. And in fact, if you want to hear Koch on the bass, listen to this. Turn it up! The best bass player of the day.
Take that, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, right. Paul, who? Well done indeed. That's Koch Reardon on bass. That's the Pogues and that's Sally McLennan. So listen, Koch, we still have a little bit of time. So I don't know, where do you want me to go with this? Have you anything you've forgotten? Anything you feel you
We
should?
Haven't really touched the kind of metal boys like Chris from Muse and Tim from Rage. Steve Harris from the 80s.
Yeah, great. We got one from the 80s.
This is Phantom of the Opera. This is very Spinal Tap. Steve Harris is a genius.
Yes, 60% of everything they did was... Hold on, how about this one then? Run to the Hills.
Yeah. This is such a great track. Oh, man. I fell off my... I was doing my homework the first time I heard this.
You did your homework the first time you heard this?
I was doing my homework and I heard this and I just thought, how is he doing that? He does this thing, it's called a gallop that you kind of do with two fingers. He can play triplets, Steve Harris, and it's inhuman how good he is. But this is what he does with his power.
We didn't do anything from John Paul Jones.
Ramble On. Oh, nice. So tasteful.
How did you know I was going to play Ramble On?
How did I know? I'm so glad we gave him a shout out.
There he is coming in.
I'd give Jack Bruce a shout out, but then you have to hear Eric Clapton. So
Bruce, you could do so much, obviously.
Yeah. This is such a beautiful bass line. How could you have that good taste? And you're competing with Jimmy Page and John Bonham, and Plantey screaming over there, and you find this sweet spot. Ramble on! What an artist. But now
it's time for me. It is time for us to go.
No, I have to give a shout out, my friend.
Oh, yeah, do. Go on. Do.
Danny Trejo, the actor, and he's got 45 years sobriety and he's written a book about how he's still alive, how he got sober, how he stayed sober. He wrote it with my friend Donal Logue. And 11 o'clock tonight, there's a live stream from LA. So look it up and join in.
Brilliant. Koch Reardon, thanks so much, Koch, for dropping in.
Thanks for having me.
Graham Smith, Dermot O'Brien, Africa O'Connell, producer John Daly, Dave Fanning saying goodbye. See you next Saturday at 1. Fantastic.
Bye.
Well done.
1, 2, 3, 4. Gotta go.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.